Today, as we celebrate this glorious Feast of Pentecost, the day that the Holy Spirit was given in such a profound way to the apostles and to the church, we have to then ask ourselves, how often have I asked God to give me the Holy Spirit? Sometimes we kind of have the wrong idea about the Holy Spirit, sort of the forgotten person of the Most Holy Trinity. We kind of act as so somehow he's sort of the rebellious teenager among the Trinity. Obviously, nothing could be further than the truth, because he is God from all eternity, and he shares the same substance as the Father and the Son. They are of one mind and of one heart. The Holy Spirit cannot lead us in any way or do things that are contrary to the will of God the Father, because the three are one. But the Father told, Jesus told us rather, that if we know how to give good things to our children, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How often do we ask? Maybe we're afraid. Jesus said in the gospel, don't be troubled or afraid. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And yet we tend to be. Why? Maybe it's because the Holy Spirit will work in ways that we don't want him to work, because we have already made up our minds of what we want to do and how we want to do it. Maybe we really don't want him leading us in a different way. Maybe we're afraid. After all, we look at how the Holy Spirit has worked and throughout history, and we'd have to ask ourselves, is that the way that I would have thought that things should have gone? Especially when you look at the last days of the life of our blessed Lord. He's the one telling us all of these things. And yet we would still look at it and say, I'm not sure that's what I would have chosen. Or I'm glad that he did that, but I'm glad I'm 2,000 years away from it and nothing like that needs to happen to me. Can we be too sure of that? Because people continue to be martyred for their faith to this very day. People are still being asked to bear witness to the truth to this very day. And it's the Holy Spirit who is giving them that grace. So we look at things as they are and as they have been. Right on the first page of the Bible, in fact, right in the first verse, we see the Holy Spirit as he's hovering over the waters at the time of creation. And he brings order into the chaos. Have to understand from the Jewish perspective, the ancient Jewish perspective, water is always a sign of chaos. They couldn't control it. And so when God created, he brought order into the chaos that was there. Sin brings chaos into the order that God has created. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings order into the chaos. Now we look throughout the Old Testament. Obviously, the Holy Spirit was there as God was creating everything. Everything is created through him. He inspired the sacred scriptures. We pray in the Psalms that were inspired by him, praying that God would send out his Spirit to renew the face of the earth. That was in the Old Testament that they were praying for that. We see him, of course, in the New Testament, overshadowing our Blessed Lady for our Lord's conception. We see him at work in St. Elizabeth, as we are told that she was filled with the Holy Spirit to be able to proclaim that the child in Our Lady's womb was indeed God and that she was the mother of God. We see him at work in Simeon and Anna in the temple, recognizing who the Lord was and worshiping him. We see Jesus giving the Holy Spirit to his apostles to be able to forgive sin. And then we see him again today as he descends upon the apostles in as if tongues of fire. And they begin to speak. And we might look at that and say, okay, I can see where the forgiveness of sin brings order into the chaos of my own life. But what about this speaking in tongues? That's kind of chaotic, isn't it? Not what you hear. These people from all over the world gathered. And what did they hear? They heard these people speaking in their own language about the mighty works of God. It wasn't chaos, it was order. So St. Paul tells us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit because the Spirit dwells within us. Exactly what Jesus taught us. It is better for us for him to go because otherwise the Spirit won't come and the Spirit will dwell within. Our Lord told us that anyone who loves me, my Father will love him. We will come to him. We will, literally it says, pitch our tent within him, make our dwelling within him. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And then Jesus told us that he's going to lead you into all truth. And what he does, he said, it's not going to do on his own, but he's going to take from me and from what is mine and give it to you. And he says, but what I have isn't my own. I got it from the Father. So the Holy Spirit is going to lead us into the same truth, who is the person of Jesus Christ. He is going to inspire us to charity. There is no chaos there. There is order. That's what he's given for. Now we have all kinds of goofy things that are being blamed on the Holy Spirit these days, and maybe that's why people don't want to pray for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't into goofiness. People are barking like dogs or squealing like pigs. That is not the Holy Spirit. It is a spirit, not the Holy One. We need to reject the evil spirits. Again, it's an amazing thing in our humanness that we are, for whatever reason, attracted to things that are evil. And yet we're repelled oftentimes by what is good. And so what the devil has to offer, oh, that sounds pretty exciting. What God has to offer, not sure that I want that. God is offering the Holy Spirit. He is offering himself. What's the devil offer? You. God is giving himself as a perfect gift of love to you. The devil is offering you to destroy yourself. Why would we want that? Because it sounds exciting. And God's gift for some reason doesn't. So the question we need to ask is, do we want the truth? Because the Holy Spirit is given to lead us into all truth. Do we want the love of God? Because St. Paul says the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Spirit who dwells within us. Do we want God dwelling in us? Because that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does and makes you a temple of the Lord, the very dwelling place of God. These are some pretty cool things. Why would we find this boring or dull or somehow the things that we wouldn't really want? It doesn't make any sense to us. Except that the vile liar wants to tell us that somehow this really isn't that good for you. When you know that the truth will set you free, why would you not want it? When you know that you are created for love, to love and to be loved, why would you not want it? The only thing that's going to fulfill you is the Lord, who is love and who is truth. Why would you not want it? Because the devil offers me all these other things that are going to make me feel so fulfilled, not one of them has ever even come close. But we keep going for what he offers and we keep rejecting what God is offering. So the Lord is telling us he is giving himself. All we have to do is to ask. Open our hearts to be able to receive what God wants to give us. Because what God will then do is bring order into the chaos of our lives. If you want to look at what Satan's doing, just look around society. It's chaos. Do you want to be at peace in the midst of all of the mess? Do you want order in the midst of chaos? Then pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Ask God to fill your heart. Do you want the enlightenment that the Lord will offer to your mind? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He gives you his sevenfold gifts. He gives you the virtues. He gives you all of these beautiful things to be able to help us to grow in holiness so that we can do the will of God and become the persons that we were created to be. There is only goodness. There is absolutely nothing that will violate us, that will go against what is the best for us. There is nothing there that we shouldn't be attracted to. This is what we need to pray for. It's what Jesus taught his apostles to pray for. They gathered around Our Lady and they prayed. And so just as the Holy Spirit had descended upon her, and the result is the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ in her womb, she could assure the apostles, pray, ask for the Holy Spirit. The first novena in history is exactly the one that we've just finished and what we're celebrating today. They came together with Our Blessed Lady and the other women, and they prayed. And then the Holy Spirit was given. And they went out and preached the truth. And that truth touched the hearts of many people, so that to this day, now we have billions who have believed the truth. You have to understand, even as you sit here today, the only reason why you can believe the truth is because the Holy Spirit is already at work in you. You're not doing this on your own. It's the Lord at work. But you know what? He wants to lead you deeper and deeper and deeper into the truth. He wants you to be able to love more and more and more. We so often are just satisfied with a little bit. God doesn't want to give you a little bit. He wants to give you all. Just think what he does in the Holy Eucharist. The very Eucharist that we call the Holy Spirit down upon to be able to change the bread and wine into the Lord Jesus. Do you receive a little bit of Jesus? No, you receive the entire person of the Lord. When God gives himself to you to dwell within you, he doesn't give you a little bit. He gives you his entire being. God literally dwells within the souls of every single person who is in the state of sanctifying grace. Now we might look at that and say, but if he's in me and he's in all these other people, then each of us just gets a little piece. No, you can't break God down. There is nothing to separate. You receive the entire person of God, and so does the person sitting next to you and all the others throughout the world. God doesn't want you to have a little bit. He wants you to have it all of the truth, all of the charity, all of the freedom of the children of God. And that's why he's given to us the Holy Spirit. So we need to open our hearts and our minds to be able to pray, to do exactly what we've been told to do, and ask for the gift. Because if we know how to give good things to our children, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?